Hello, everybody. Welcome back into Locked On Colts, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Today's always your host, Evan Sutter. I'm here today to wrap up day five of Colts training camp, which I was credentialed for. Be on the lookout not only for some audio, but also some written content over on Forbes Sports over the next few days. We're going to dive into some quick topics, though, before we go into the audio from today, the last 30 to 40 minutes, which will feature head coach Frank Reich, Justin Houston, Adam Vinatieri, and Andrew Luck. But we might as well start off with some three or four topics that I took away from today's practice. First off is actually Andrew Luck himself. He spoke to the media afterwards today. He said it's not really a setback with his calf. He sat out today completely, his second in 5 days, but he just doesn't think he's at the place right now where he doesn't want to hamper himself and he doesn't want to have any setbacks. And I think it's a smart play for him. He's kind of taken it super precautious. He even mentioned that the 2016-17 shoulder issues he's had kind of lays in the back of his head right now as far as really changing how he's mentally and physically rehabbing his injuries. And it's probably what's going to happen moving forward with Andrew Luck whenever he's injured. He's going to take the super cautious approach. He's going to be 30 in a couple weeks anyways. So don't be shocked if we don't see Andrew Luck much at all, if any, in preseason. But I think he should be. He said even Kevin Bowen of 1070 The Fan asked Andrew Luck during our media scrum if he'd be fine for the season opener. He said 100% he'd be fine for the season opener. So don't worry about Andrew Luck there. I just think this is hypothetical on my end. I believe he has a grade 3 calf strain, which you look it up. Grade 3 calf strains usually take about 3 months to recover fully. So we're around 3 months right now for Andrew Luck. Grade 1 is about a couple weeks. Grade 2 is a couple months, or excuse me, a couple weeks after that. So around 6 to 8 weeks. And you add in a grade 3, which is a complete tear of the calf muscle, which will take about 3 months or so to heal. So that's not what Andrew Luck said. I'm just hypothetically guessing that as a grade 3 calf strain because it seems like the most realistic thing if it indeed is a calf strain. Andrew Luck also did mention that he has some pain in his ankle, and he also mentioned during practice when he was last out there on Sunday that when he was really opening up and throwing around and moving his legs a little bit, that's where he felt the pain. And it's really just a precautious approach with the Colts that they're doing with not only Andrew Luck, they're letting him control his own rehab, which I think is a super smart thing to do. And I don't know if that's ever happened before with Andrew Luck. I think under the old regime, it was rushing him back and they need him immediately. I think the old approach was bad. A new approach with Chris Ballard and Frank Reich, though, it's the players. It's Andrew Luck's decision. And so far, that's how Frank Reich really echoed that sentiment, which we'll hear later on today, that it's all on Andrew Luck. It's how he feels, and it'll progress as it is. They're going to reevaluate him on Friday. He will not practice on Wednesday or Thursday. So their off day is on Friday. So do not see Andrew Luck out there the rest of the week, but I will not be shocked if we see him out there maybe next week. But we'll have to obviously continue to follow along with the Andrew Luck situation here. But you'll hear a lot from Frank Reich and Andrew Luck here in the next couple minutes about the calf injury itself. A lot of talk about that today. But I want to just get my quick thoughts in there. That really not much to add on Andrew Luck because it seems like a lot of overreactions are happening around not only NFL but Colts fans themselves. I'm really trusting the process here. I think a lot of Colts fans should too because Andrew Luck showed last year he was completely fine. The chemistry with the other wide receivers was completely fine even though they missed a lot of that the offseason action. Paris Campbell, Devin Funchess, and the new additions. I really wouldn't worry about them that much because Andrew Luck said when he was asked about how he's going to get chemistry with the guys out there, he said during walkthroughs he's still going through with the team, but he told the wide receivers that this is his practice, so this is kind of more full go. It's not really an actual walkthrough. So that's where they're getting their chemistry at. And I think for that, like I mentioned, it's a smart play to really just let Andrew Luck do his thing. He's proven already he's an MVP candidate, a top five quarterback when he's fully healthy. So really just let Andrew Luck do his thing, and I think he'll be A-OK once September 9th comes around against the Los Angeles Chargers. But again, you'll hear a lot about Andrew Luck and his calf later on today's episode. But let's dive into some more quick bullet point thoughts that I took away from today's practice, which was the defensive backs really had a great day. And I want to highlight two really quickly, Pierre Desir and Kenny Moore. Pierre Desir had a really good day. He had multiple sequences where he did it really well against Chester Rogers. He also forced a fumble against Nyheim Hines. A lot of great separation action from Pierre Desir in 11-on-11 settings and also 7-on-7 settings, which is a great sign to see for Pierre Desir, who signed a 2-year extension with the Colts this past offseason. He's not 30 yet. He's still well in his prime, I believe, and he looked like a legit number one, number two, strong number two corner in the Colts system. Obviously, he's number one cornerback, but Pierre Desir, I think, is really buying in and really honing his craft right now, which is great to see when you see other young defensive backs learning from a guy like Pierre Desir. But he had a great day as well. Kenny Moore had a really good day too. I think it was his best day so far in camp. Did a lot of stuff. He was very versatile. He really blanketed T.Y. Hilton a lot when he was in the slot. And that he really held his own too. Really outside of Kenny Moore, when T.Y. Hilton was lined up in the slot, he was torturing everyone else except Kenny Moore. He had a really good day against T.Y. and also some other players. A press coverage sequence against Steve Ishmael in 7-on-7. He just locked him up, put the clamps on him. And that was really surprising to see from Kenny Moore. I mean, not really surprising, so to say, but it's just a great sign for Kenny Moore because you see just how much he's improved every single year. He just got his new extension as well. But I think Kenny Moore is a guy who I'm really excited to see what he can do this year. I think he has Pro Bowl potential, not only this year, but down the line, because you just see the talent for him as a top nickel cornerback in the NFL. I think he could really be a flamethrower in the defensive backs alongside Pierre Desir. But another quick guy I want to hit on as well before we go into our audio from today, Marvell Tell III. Some quick notes on him. He didn't really do much as far as defensive back work. I know he had some sequences to get some third team guys, but for him to make the team, he really has to be a good special teams player, and that's what he was doing today. He was actually, for the first time that I've seen, as a gunner, and he did really well as a gunner. I think he was the best gunner on the team today, which maybe the days are limited for a guy like Chris Milne if Marvell Tell can prove his worth there, because Tell, who's 6'3", 200 pounds, very lanky. You can tell when he's lined up in a defensive back stance. He looks like a Richard Sherman type of guy, very long, super lanky, the type of defensive back that Chris Bauer really covets and loves. But Marvell Tell is not going to make this roster unless he can play special teams. And he's proven, at least today, that he can really do that well. And he might be the best gunner on this team if he can really excel in that role and buy into that role. And that wouldn't shock me at all. Because when we watch special teams today, actually, Marvell Tell consistently was the first one down there to get the punt returner, whether it's Chester Rogers, Zach Pascal, or Nyheim Hines. He was consistently down there and really making an impact right away. And that shouldn't go unnoticed because Marvell Tell, like I mentioned, could take Chris Milton's spot. And he could also be right away one of the best special teams guys. I think also EJ Speed is another one to watch for special teams moving forward. He had some good sequences on that. But Marvell Tell, I think special teams-wise, was the big winner today because he's proving right now as a fifth-round pick that he has to stick to play special teams, and that's exactly what he's doing. But another point I wanted to hit on really quickly if our listeners here on Locked On Colts is DeNico Autry. He is the breakout candidate for the Colts this year. I know he had a big year last year as a Pro Bowl alternate, but he dominated Quentin Nelson today. There's a couple sequences where he really put the work on Quentin Nelson with a bull rush spin combination. He also did really well against Mark Lewinsky. He looks like an actual dominant force out there. I think he's been the best defender so far in camp if we add in all 5 days. And that's a great sign because if you put Justin Houston on the perimeter next to him, DeNico Autry on the inside, good luck to the left side of the offensive line that's facing them because those guys are like the Bash Brothers. I think they're going to have a really great year. Really, Autry is going to have a lot of separation now and a lot more open space because instead of a guy like Kamoko Touré out there, I mean, Kamoko Touré is obviously going to rotate in there, but Justin Houston, a legitimate veteran you'll hear about later on today when he spoke to the media, but Justin Houston is going to open up so much for DeNico Autry. I think DeNico Autry is going to open up so much for Justin Houston. Those guys are going to be really work really well together. And Autry had so many good sequences today in the one-on-one settings against offensive linemen. Like I mentioned, Quentin Nelson, he gave him the work a couple times. And that's when you see a rookie all-pro offensive lineman like Quentin Nelson gets the work from DeNico Autry, not only today, but on multiple days now. I think that kind of should open up some eyes about why DeNico Autry could be the breakout Colts candidate. He could be a guy who maybe has 8 to 10 sacks or more this year because he's going to have open space. He's going to have one-on-one blocks in a loss situation because Justin Houston can be next to him. He's going to be the one who is garnering most of those double-team actions. So expecting a lot of big things from DeNico Autry this year. He's a big winner from today as well. And also I wanted to close as well on one more thing, and that is the wide receiver battle right now. I think Chester Rogers is moving ahead of Zach Pascal, in my opinion. I think today Pascal had a really bad day, guys. He had 4 or 5 drops, not only in 11-on-11 settings, 7-on-7 settings, but also in punt return. And Chester Rogers, on the other hand, Pierre Desir had a really great play on Chester Rogers where it was near the end of practice in the red zone situations, and he really forced the ball out of his hand there. But outside of that, Chester Rogers had a really good day too. And I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens there because I think the first 4 wide receivers are solidified. T.Y. Hilton, Devin Funchess, Paris Campbell, Deion Kane. Who's going to be the 5th, though? Is it going to be Chester Rogers? Is it going to be Zach Pascal? Is it going to be Dorys Fountain, Steve Ishmael, Ashton Doolin? Or are they going to keep 6? I personally think they're going to go 5 right now, just without the roster balance is shaking out. But I'm curious to hear listeners what you guys have to say, because right now I would really lean toward Chester Rogers. And this might be a daily thing where I flip back and forth, but those two guys are very close in my mind. Pascal had a really horrible day, and Chester Rogers had a really good day. So maybe this is the type of day where Chester Rogers creates some separation or maybe leapfrogs in front of Zach Pascal, who I originally thought would be the leader in the clubhouse for that 5th wide receiver spot. So definitely follow along with that. I think those two are really fighting one-on-one against each other right now for that final wide receiver spot. Dorys Fountain is on the outside looking in. Ashton Doolin, like I mentioned a couple of seconds ago, He had a really good day too. I think he's a guy who right now I would love to see on the practice squad. He is a freakish athlete, 6'4". He was burning guys today a couple times in just some one-on-one settings. I really want to see the potential of Ashton Doolin maybe on the practice squad and see what happens from there, because he's a guy who, if you mold him correctly, could be a number four wide receiver down the line. But focus more on Chester Rogers and Zach Pascal, because really those two guys are now really neck and neck as far as the fifth wide receiver spot. I would lean Chester Rogers at this moment, but Zach Pascal, as Chris Bauer mentioned on day one of training camp, I think he has a soft spot on Chris Bauer's heart. He's a guy who can do a lot of things. He does the dirty work. He hasn't really complained about anything. So if Pascal can cure the drops from today, I think that's going to be really interesting to watch, because Chester Rogers had a really great day. And if Chester Rogers can also prove he can return punts and Paris Campbell can't, Nyheim Hines can't, then I think Rogers is going to make the roster anyways just as a punt returner. But I want to hear the listeners' thoughts. Comment on Reddit. Comment on Stampy Blue wherever you're listening to this. Comment on Apple Podcast. Who do you think is leaning right now toward the fifth wide receiver spot? Chester Rogers? Is it Zach Pascal, or is it someone else? So let me know on that. But I want to let you guys listen now to the rest of today's podcast, which is going to feature all of our interviews: Frank Reich, the head coach; Justin Houston; Adam Vinatieri; and the franchise quarterback himself, Mr. Andrew Luck.
Obviously, you saw Andrew was not out here today. You know, we went according to plan. Felt good about him going for the first 4 days and progressing up. And then just getting feedback from Andrew, just not ready to take the next step, and just thought the best thing to do is be conservative, go back and regroup, and let's get this thing right. We still got plenty of time to go. And listen, we're dealing here with a guy who knows how to deal with this stuff. And I trust Andrew implicitly and want to listen to him and the feedback. He knows what he feels. So I think we're doing the right thing there. You probably will not see him the next 3 days, or the next 2 days. Then we'll get our day off and we'll reassess where we go from next week. You know, I'll let him answer that. I don't know if it's a setback. I don't know if I would categorize it as that. He might, you know, we'll see how he would categorize it. You know, I just think it was, you know, we come out here for 4 days. I was optimistic that we could get through these 4 days and just keep going. But, you know, you feel what you feel. And we got to respect that. And it's still early on. There's so much that can get done. There's so much that is being done in a lot of ways that I think is getting him ready for the season.
And Frank, is it more than just a calf? I think you made a mention on NFL Network, mentioned lower leg. So is it beyond just a calf injury that he's dealing with?
I mean, right now the primary thing we're dealing with is the calf and the feelings there. I'll let him elaborate on that, you know, going into the specific details if he wants to elaborate. But we typically don't elaborate on every detail of every injury for any player, you know, not just Andrew.
I think you mentioned during at one point in the OTAs that if you played Sunday, he'd be out there. So has something happened between then and now?
You know, again, if this Sunday was a, you know, was a big game, do I think he'd play? Yeah, I probably think he'd play. But again, only he can answer that. I mean, you got to trust the players. You got to trust the players, and that's what we're doing in this case, and with all of our players.
We've asked you to, without beating it up, he'll now, for the most part, not be a part of 2 weeks of teamwork and all that. Doesn't it hold back the offense when your guy's not running the offense?
Sure. You know, we love all of our players to practice, but you know what? We just find over the years that we can't let anything hold the offense back. Nothing. And Andrew knows this. There's this, you know, sure, he's a great player, but this, you know, this is a team game. And Jacoby's having a great camp so far. He's taking advantage of the reps he's getting. And in that way, it's really good for our team. And so, you know, we're full speed ahead.
Frank, any part of you said that it was a game week and there was a Sunday game that Andrew would play. Was that a little premature? Or was that,
yeah,
you,
I mean,
said before there was something else happening earlier, or like a setback we've seen at camp?
Yeah, no, I didn't talk to him in detail this morning. We talked last night about the plan for this week. I listened to, you know, he's laid it out exactly how he was feeling, what was good, what wasn't so good, and just talking it through with everybody, just felt like this is the best plan to take this 3 days. Because you know when you give him 3 days to kind of get his body right, you know he's going to get every ounce out of that he can. So could he play this Sunday? Yeah, I'm optimistically saying yeah. If you talk to him, he might say, well, I'm not sure. It'd probably be a game time decision, but you can ask him that.
Frank, how important is it for him to get preseason reps, or for even guys like Devin or Paris to have game reps with him?
You know, every rep is important. Honestly, he wasn't going to play. If he would have came in here 100% healthy, I'd already determined he wasn't playing in the Buffalo game anyway. That was predetermined 3 months ago. And wouldn't play in the last preseason game. So the plan in a perfect world would have been he played a little bit in game two and a little bit in game three, and not a whole lot. So we feel like we get game speed reps out here. Preseason is good. It's fine. We want to get him out there a little bit, but it's not absolutely necessary.
Game two still possible? Preseason?
Too early to say. You know, I mean, and I don't even want to push it, to be honest with you. Even if he came back and said, you know, I'm going to be, well, let's not even think about that. Let's just get this thing right, take it day to day. And I just think it's important for his mentality and psyche that he just feels ready to go. And we need a good full week of practice, full speed, where he feels confident. That's what we're looking for.
Is this all precautionary, or is he in pain?
Oh, no, he has some pain. He definitely has some pain. That's really the feedback. So, and you know, and when you start talking about pain, it's a continuum, right? I mean, it's 0 to 10. You know, where do you feel? And whatever the player feels, you have to respect that, especially a guy that's been around. This isn't a guy this isn't his first rodeo. So we know he's tough. We know he can play with pain, but we got to be smart right here.
I don't want to break the Andrew Luck questions, but why have tight ends always been featured in your offenses? What is it about them?
Just good matchups. You know, when you get athletic, explosive tight ends like Eric Ebron, when you get really smart tight ends like Jack Doyle, and long tight ends like Mo Alie-Cox, they're good matchups on safeties and on linebackers. You're getting coverage on linebackers and safeties, and we feel, and there's good linebackers and safeties out there, but we just feel that's our advantage. Furthermore, you're typically working inside. The ball's in the air, travels less time in the air. The less time in the air, the better for the offense, you know, the less margin of error. So I think those are some of the key reasons.
Does that go back to Buffalo when you had, was it McKellar? I mean, does it go back that far back?
Yeah, well, there's no doubt. As far as how I think about it, as far as how I think about it, there's no doubt. Seeing, you know, and even back then we had Pete Metzlars inside like a Jack Doyle, you know, knew how to use Pete Metzlars, knew how to use a guy, you know, Keith McKellar was like an Ebron. You know, you go down the road. When I was here the first time as the quarterback coach, and you know, you had Dallas Clark, you know, and then in San Diego with Antonio Gates, and in Philadelphia with Ertz. So we love our tight ends here, and we're going to continue to feature them.
Frank, we've talked a little bit since camp started about some of the research and science you guys have looked at, you know, in terms of easing in and engaging, you know, players' readiness and that kind of thing. Was that something that's a more recent effort for you, or was that something that you've been kind of attuned with for, you know, a longer period of time?
I feel like I've been pretty attuned in with that. You know, I think Chris and I talk about this a lot. You know, I'm open to the sports science stuff. I'm old school in some ways, but I like the sports science stuff. And it's just a question of how to use it. And so we got a really good team of people. And then just the way Chris and I mesh on it and talk through it, I just think it's good to use the information, but you still got to synthesize it and still come down and make judgments at the end of the day that you think are best.
How different is it? I mean, you talked about, you know, your Buffalo days, for example. I mean, you ever think about how much it's contrasted from where it was when you played?
Yeah, I mean, we had talked about none of this stuff. I mean, none of this sports science stuff. Well, the only sports science stuff, let me go back on that. We had Rusty Jones.
Right.
So as far as being advanced in our training, a lot of the things that we're doing now that all the teams are doing, you know, I hate to say it like this, but Rusty invented that stuff, you know, or at least he was one of the guys that invented it back 30 years ago. So, but as far as all the other data that we get, this is all new in the last 10, 15 years.
Frank, did Jabon have his knee scoped? Is there any update there?
No update at this point.
Al-Kadeem Muhammad looks like he's been taking the starting reps for him. What type of player is he? I know he, you know, started games for you last year. What does he bring in place of Jabon?
He has a lot of talent, A, or you're not here. B, he is what you call an effort player, which every player should be that way, but he's just got some. He's like a 10 out of 10 when it comes to effort. You know he's going to finish every play. And so that attitude is contagious. And so that's where he's made his plays, you know, that combination of talent and effort.
Frank, last question here.
Frank, it felt like there were a lot of flags out there today.
It did feel like that, didn't it? And, I meant to say that to the team today. In fact, I wrote it down, and I glossed over it. But we'll talk about that one this afternoon with them. That's why we have the officials out here. You know, when we get a pre-snap penalty, I want to mark it off, a delay game, and I want us to feel the pain of it, you know. And, of course, we do tell the officials to call it a little bit tighter, like the pass interference stuff, you know, because we want our guys to kind of get used to it. So we need to clean that up. We've talked about that as a team, that we got to become a less penalized team, more disciplined in that way. So that's certainly a goal.
We could just get a pulse of the first week of practice now that you guys have had a few days of bad.
I think it's been going good. I think it's a lot of young guys. They're hungry. They want it. They're full of energy. So anytime you get a good group of guys that's full of energy and just constantly working, constantly competing, it makes the whole team better. So we got everybody working on both sides of the ball. We're just trying to get better every day.
Can you evaluate the front seven right now for us, where you guys are at, where you guys want to be?
We still got a lot to improve on, but I think we're in a good place, especially just as a whole. We communicate and we know learning how each other play. So I'm trying to get a feel for the linebacker. They're trying to get a feel for me. So we're just trying to feel out one another right now. This is time to do it. So I think every day we've gotten better and we're understanding each other.
In terms of getting a feel, is that just kind of like knowing how they're going to feel stuff behind you and that kind of thing?
Yes, and just knowing my responsibility. I've always been on the outside, so I was just, as a 3-4 linebacker, you just set the edge the whole time. But this defense, I'm with my hand down, you got to play a little run game, a little different. So I'm learning it as well as they learn it, so it's good for both of them.
So what do you guys were mentioning back in the summer that you already kind of like started helping with the pass rush and stuff like that. Is that kind of something you've always done? Because you always had like, you know, younger guys in Kansas City mentor too.
Yes. Anytime I can help somebody, they help me, and just as much as I can help them. So we just talk and communicate, and they full of questions. They just want to get better, so they just asking me. You know, this year 9 for me, so I got some experience in rushing. So they just want to learn and get better.
And they can still help you, even though you've got so much more experience?
But I was told you can learn something from a 2-year-old baby, so always be humble and listen. You never know what you can learn. Just always listen.
So are you able to play a little more aggressive against the run in this scheme versus just purely setting the edge, or is that what you're referring to?
Yes, I can just – it's more not really more so reading this in this scheme. It's more so attacking, and I just got to get used to attacking and not trying to read.
What are your thoughts on going up against Anthony Costanzo for the first 5 seasons?
I love going against Stanzo. He helped me get better. I think he's one of the best left tackles in the game. So any day I can compete against him and compete against one of the best tackles in the game, it's going to better me. But I love going against him every day.
What makes him one of the elite guys?
I think his talents, first of all, and his experience. So he's very experienced. He's been in the league for a while, and his technique is amazing to me. So I love the way he works his hands. It's constantly got me working, because he never do the same thing over and over, so it make it hard for me to try to figure out what he's doing. I can never figure him out, so it just constantly got me working and thinking it all the time.
Do you feel like you get off the ball faster than you do point stands? Because you look pretty fast off the ball. Maybe you feel like it's the same. I don't know.
We'll see. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's tough to say. I feel like I got off good in a 2-point stands, but only time will tell.
Justin, you said you can still learn from even a 2-year-old. Can you learn from Robert Mathis, or what have you learned from you've known him, but what the hands on?
I don't want to tell my secrets because I don't want y'all to put it out there, but I'm definitely learning from Robert. He's a great guy. He's one of the best that ever played this game. So I'm all ears when he's talking. I'm just feeding and taking all in. He's cleaning up the little things I don't know. So like I say, anytime I can get better and help me improve, I'm all ears.
So you can still get better?
I'm always, as long as I'm playing this game, you can always get better.
Did you do that pass rush summit? Have you done that pass rush summit that Vaughn does? Pass in the summer?
No, I haven't had the time. Usually, so my grandma's birthday beat around the time he's doing it. So I haven't got a chance to do it. So maybe one of these years, I'll make it out there.
Justin, what do you think, besides Costanzo, of first impressions of the entire offensive line? I mean, it's different when you put the pads on. So what have you thought of those guys?
It's hard to say, because you go against these guys every day, so you know, like, they know your weakness, you learn their weakness, so it's tough to say, and it's early to say, but from my point of view, I think they're a great group of guys, and I think they're very talented, and I think they got a chance to do something special this year, but like I said, it's too early to say, so the time will tell.
Can there be an adjustment to practice with Matt Eberflus? A lot of guys say that his standard's pretty high.
To me, that's what it should be, no matter where you come from. I think we had when I was in Kansas City, we practiced that hustling to the ball. Then maybe they may take it up a little notch, but it's the same. If you want to be great, you got to work. And I love that, because he don't care who you are, he going to push you. There's no guy better than the next guy. He don't care who he is. You got that coach helmet on, you coming to work. You on his side of the ball, he going to call you out. If you lacking, So just be prepared to work, and I love that because it's going to bring the best out of you.
Justin, what are you guys last question with Jabal out right now?
It's tough. His experience, though, his talent. Jabal is a great. You just can't replace a guy like Jabal. He's awesome to me. I was watching film, the way he played the run, the way he set that edge. He played with so much power and force. It's hard to replace a guy like that. But he'll be back soon. It's not like we still got plenty of time for him to get healthy. So I just want him to take his time, get healthy, and be ready to go.
You guys know each other during the draft process?
Not really. We knew of each other, but we really didn't know each other like that.
Thanks, guys.
NFL training camp, yeah.
Couple. It's just the same as the first one in New England back when
pretty
you were
much,
just trying
yeah,
to get a job.
Yeah, pretty much the same. One a days instead of two a days every day, and kick every other day rather than twice a day every day. So a little different. Yeah, obviously camps over the last couple of CBAs, it's a little bit more player friendly, and I guess when you get my age, they take it easy on me, or easier on me at least. So we got a certain amount of kicks that we try to get in every other day or whatever and make sure we're ready to go. But yeah.
How do you feel?
Good. Physically. Yeah, no, I'm in, you know, we put a lot of time in this off season. I tried to do as much as I could this off season to get, you know, stronger and healthier and all that kind of stuff and lose a little weight and just to be ready to go. And I think it's I feel good. What do you see? Anything?
You tell me.
Week two.
I'm just kidding.
Week two.
I'm not going to tell you how you feel.
Adam, you know, you've been at this for a while, and just talking to Frank about this, just, you know, all the sports science they're applying now, you know, in terms of, you know, how they sort of ease you guys into camp in like 3 days and a day off coming up this week, right? That kind of thing.
Yep.
And he's talked a lot about all the research they've done, and then contrasting that from like when he was playing back in the day, or even when you came into the league, perhaps.
Yeah.
I mean, how much difference is there in just awareness and acknowledgement of those matters?
100%. Yeah, no, I think, and don't quote me on this, but I believe my
rookie
year.
I'm going to quote
you. Well, okay. My rookie year in 96, whatever. Mm-hmm. I want to say we probably went 10 or 12 or 15 days straight at double days before we had a day off. You know, I think we went straight until we had a game, and then we had a day off after that. And it was a lot more padded practices, and it was a lot more this or that. So I know Rusty and our staff has paid attention to, we wear the little GPS monitors and heart rate monitors to make sure that guys are maxing out and doing a certain level. And then when you get to a certain red line level, they either try to count your reps or back you down a little bit. So, you know, soft tissue injuries and stuff like that are notorious across the league. There's a lot of, it's because you're working a lot harder and a lot more hours, and your recovery is not as much. So they paid a lot more attention this year to that, and they're trying to make sure that we get the right amount of reps to get healthy, strong, fast, all this stuff, but not overdoing it and trying to minimize risks of injuries and stuff like that. So it's definitely different this year. And I mean, the nutritionists are doing lots of stuff, and they're monitoring your urine to how much, you know, whatever. So whatever, I mean, all that stuff goes into it to make sure you're staying hydrated and staying fueled up and ready to go, and just to try to minimize risk of injury.
And then on a related note, I know, like, quarterbacks, for example, they chart numbers of throws and all that sort of things. How you apply a lot of those things, I imagine,
absolutely,
too, with number of kicks.
Yeah,
how meticulous are you with that stuff?
We chart all of our kicks and know how many reps we're doing, how many warm-up reps to how many live reps and that kind of stuff. So we try to stay in a certain range. There may be days that we're working on, you know, last-second field goal, we'll hurry up, run out there onto the field and do some of that. Or, you know, it might be a windy day, so we're trying to get a little bit more work on both sides to do that kind of thing. So, but it all tries to stay within a certain number and a certain, you know, someday, maybe one day we're over that limit, next day we'll back it down a little bit. So, you know, it's important, like I said, to get ready to go, but it's also important to stay fresh and feel healthy.
Hey, Adam, you've been around, you know, one or two head coach GM combinations. You were here with the previous one. What is it about Frank and Chris that you've noticed on why this has worked?
I think they complement each other very, very well. They have the same philosophy and they have the same beliefs. Obviously, I think Chris has done a fantastic job with personnel, bringing in young guys that fit the mold of what he's trying to build here. You know, some good, hardworking guys that are unselfish, that want to work hard and want to do a bunch of stuff. And I really think that Frank's coaching mindset and the way he does things is very, he pushes at the right time, and you know, you feel like he's a friend, but he gets all the respect that he deserves. You know, you don't have to beat guys down to make it people understand. And so I think honestly those two guys work very, very well together with the same philosophies, and it's great.
And when you deal with Chris, I mean, when it comes to like contracts and stuff, is it an easy transition and stuff, trying to kind of communicate the work on what he believes is fair for the team and also the player?
Yeah, I don't want to speak for everybody else and their contracts. I don't know. That stuff. But for him and I, it's been, you know, it's been easy. I think we both wanted the same thing. I wanted to come back. He wanted me back. And so it was an easy situation. They're very understanding and very good with the fact that I'm a little older, so I get a little bit of physical free. I may be the only one that didn't have to run the conditioning test, but but I think I would have passed it anyway, but they didn't make me do it at my age. So, but no, I mean, I really respect and admire what he's doing here.
So you got a discount on it.
Yeah.
I don't want to say senior discount, but
yeah,
discount.
Whatever.
Kicker is, obviously more. A pretty limited position in the NFL. There's only 32 of you guys. When you have a young kicker come in like Cole, is there anything that you do with your experience to try and help him along the way, and any tips you give?
Yeah, well, I try to be as open as I can. You know, if he's got questions to ask, and I try to answer him and try to help him out. And then there's other times where, you know, it's a windy day or something, or you know, he's asked me about what do you do when you're kicking in the snow? You know, little things like that where he played in Texas, maybe he didn't play in the snow a lot, you know, and I'm a little older. I've had a couple experiences. So, I mean, just like our special teams coaches said, just follow Adam around and pay attention to what he does, how he prepares to get ready for practice, what he does in the off day to get ready to go. You know, when you're 22 years old, your body feels a little bit better than when you're older. So maybe the extra stuff that I do, he maybe doesn't have to do that yet. But as far as the communication stuff, it's been good. He's a really good young kicker. And if I can, I guess I can give him a couple nuggets of wisdom that I've learned over the years, it helps him out maybe. I don't know.
Thanks, Adam.
You bet. You kicked in the snow.
You didn't get the memo.
Yeah, I guess.
Hey, well, we came looking for you, so.
I hear ya. I'll go ahead.
And Chris, is it safe to assume that you had a setback or just not where you want to be to miss this week?
Yeah, you can say setback. I'd like to view it not where I want to be. I did not improve feeling-wise, pain-wise, and this is something that I vowed to myself after going through 2016, 2017, that I would be, one, honest with myself about how I felt pain-wise with things, two, honest to the people, the parties involved, you know, Chris, Frank, our medical staff, teammates, whomever, and then make sure that I took the time, that we took the time to make good decisions about going forward. I know I did not improve with the past three practices, you know, that sort of last tranche of practices. And I think it meant that, hey, we gotta go back to some more simpler things with less variables, if you will. And I do know I'm doing what's best for me. And it's a weird, you know, what's best for me, what's best for the team. You know, there's a part of me that's guilty for not being at practice. You know, that's the part that loves the team aspect, but I also know it's a detriment to me, and at the end of the day, a detriment to the team. If I dodo bird, you know, a situation.
Andrew, there's a fair amount of confusion, I think, because obviously this conversation started in May,
mm-hmm.
and we were told very, very clearly that it was very, very minor.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're two and a half months into this. Can you talk about the nature of the injury at all, at least?
Yeah, no, I did a disservice to myself by saying I'd be ready. I think there's another thing I tried to learn with an injury is you can't, you know, things, bodies don't care about a date on a calendar or something. I certainly wish I was out here, but the nature of it is a calf strain. And I say lower leg because I feel pain in my ankle area and calf strain. And I guess I'll get a little specific. I've had images and x-rays and everything, and my Achilles is not at extra risk. There is no tear or swelling in there or anything that's indicated. But it's a calf strain, and we're on our feet a lot. And I know to be the best quarterback I want to be, to help this team like I want to help them, I can't be, I'm not looking for average. And if I'm going out here with pain, I'll be average. I will feel like an average quarterback, and I'll be an average quarterback. That's not good enough for me. That's not good enough for this club.
Without getting too detailed into the discussions you've had with your trainers, is the belief that if you back off that you can resolve this, or is this something you think you'll have to deal with?
No, absolutely. Okay. Resolve, and that's why I'm doing this. This is not, we need to maintain this. It's going to be around. That's not my mindset. This is, I am working on resolving this issue. That is priority one. You know, there are still ways to get better as a quarterback with meetings. Right now, walkthroughs are my practices. I mean, I talked to Funch and Ebron this morning to say, hey, guys, just so you know, I'm not going to be out there, but I might be a little more intense at a walkthrough today because that is my practice. That is how I get better. No, we are all working on resolving this, so it's not a lingering issue. I could not live with myself if we got to the season or a point in the season and said, hey, I could have done this to take care of this issue, but I didn't because of X, Y, Z, whatever that is. I'm not going to allow that to happen. It's something, again, 2016. And, you know, I still have some emotional scars from that, and that lives with me still. But I'm trying to use it in a positive way, certainly for myself.
Hey, Coach, you're concerned that you weren't able to clean it up and get it resolved over the last 6, 7, 8 months, or excuse me, weeks before this started, and then maybe within 3 days, you know what I mean, or however long you're out.
Could you say that again? Sorry.
Is there a concern that you weren't able to clean it up before camp started? Because you had a lot of
No, because I get frustrated. I'm frustrated to a certain degree. I was, especially the last day of that last tranche. I felt worse. So, I've made progress ever since I've started working on this issue. But the progress wasn't enough. I sort of look at it that, hey, I've gotten to step 4 or 5. I'm just throwing out arbitrary numbers. But to be out here moving around practice, that's step 8, 9. I've got to go build those. That's 5, 6, 7, 8. And I think, and that's where my mind is at. And if I can stack those steps together in a more controlled environment, with working on some more, going back, working on some more specific things to let me come out here and play freely and play quarterback.
It's back to fall of 17, doesn't it? The way you think about this stuff.
Yes, absolutely.
You have to sort of.
Absolutely. And it's hard. Yeah, it's it could be a difficult thing. You feel like there are a lot of stakeholders, you know, when you're the quarterback of an NFL team. And I struggle with that. But I also know when Chris Ballard and Frank Reich and great teammates and great medical staff and health and within this building, outside this building, my wife, family, you know, it helps. I don't feel quite alone like I did, you know, at times in 2016-17.
Did you make a move where you, in practice where you're like, you know what, this just doesn't...
Yeah, there were a couple things. Yeah, I guess I'll get specific with you. Just opening up a little bit. It's like, ooh, I feel like something's going to yank, something's going to pull. Trying to change direction aggressively. And that's something that you need to do to play football, you know, and I'm not there yet. And that's sort of the step, when I say step 6, 7, 8, that's where my focus is. Is right now physically.
Well, 9 months, did you ever think about surgery or just others?
Yeah, when anything happens, you know, the process of getting opinions and formulating a sort of plan. I mean, so yeah, absolutely. I talk to our team doctors and other doctors, and go through the whole gamut of you know, everything that you can do, and decide, no, this is there's nothing surgical to do to a strain of a muscle, and it's just a stubborn one, I guess.
So with what you're doing right now, you feel like week one is still very much...
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But, you know, that's only a consequence. You know, being ready is just a consequence of doing the right things today, this afternoon, tomorrow morning. You know, when the situation changes, it's organic, it evolves, and I should be going forward. And why I'm not out here today practicing was because I felt like I was going backwards. And I guess that's the simple story at the end of the day.
I know you focused on resolving it, as you said.
Yeah.
If you can't resolve it to, you know, to an ideal place.
You going with the hypothetical here?
Extremely hypothetical.
Let me ask it this way.
Okay. If you were, I mean, could you play on this as you are right now? It's not the smart thing to do, maybe, but...
I've played in football games with way more pain.
So yeah. if you had a game this Sunday, you'd be playing, is what Coach told me.
Hypothetical, so I'm not going to sit here and answer that, but I'll say that again, I have played in games with way more pain, just like everybody NFL has. I don't think I'm special in that regard by any means.
Well, given your past, do you think there'll be a mental aspect too that you have to get through, a mental wall you have to get through?
Absolutely, and I think that's part of what I am working on. I know I know big for me, again, a lot of what I learned, what I've tried to learn 2016-17, you know, applying it now is if I'm going to bed at night believing that I've sold myself short during the day, that I haven't gotten the most, that I've forced myself to do something either I'm not ready for or that I have pain, then that's not a good thing. And I felt that a little bit. I felt like I was selling myself short. And so as the mental aspect, you know, part of that mental struggle is making sure being on the same page with the head coach, the GM, medical staff, teammates. So I know that's always a big step for me. And that's something that I think guys in this building, and not just with me, but everybody does a very good job of.
Andrew, you're going through the walkthroughs.
Yeah.
Are you getting your throwing in?
Yeah, I am.
That's not impeding your
throw? No. I'm getting throwing in from a stationary, you know, sort of position. But the aggressive movements that, it might look small, but, you know, moving in the pocket is an aggressive movement. I'm staying away from, because that's a little bit too big of a step for me right now. And on a positive note, I feel really good throwing, so... Maybe someone can write that. Every day, in a sense, is a test, is a reassessment. Is I believe very much in the training that I do and the help, you know, that I've received. You know, starting with my shoulder. You know, when I had to miss the 2017 season, and I believe in that process. I believe in the people. You know, I believe in myself in that process. That's sort of, I guess, the magic, if you will. So every day is a test, reassessment. Every day we say, hey, did we improve? Did we not? If I'm not making progress, then you have to change things. That's what I learned. I mean, that's the goal. You know, being ready for game one, being ready for a preseason game, being my best. It's just a consequence of doing the right things and seeing results. If we're not seeing results, hey, where are we wrong? What's happening? Is it the training? Is it the lifting? Are we doing too much? Is it rest? Is it food? Is it, you know, whatever? Is it the bed? You know, you go through everything.
Andrew, where are last preseason one game reps on the priority list for you?
Yeah, a ways away. A ways down. Yeah, that right now. It's getting healthy. That's priority one. Continuing to improve on being a better quarterback, which you can do. It's a little more challenging, you know, meetings and walkthroughs. But again, walkthroughs aren't my practice right now. And still do a lot of work in this league with walking.